This is grain, which any fool can eat, but for which the Lord intended a more divine means of consumption. Let us give praise to our Maker and glory to his bounty by learning about beer.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gents. You are listening to the Ale Evangelist Show, the show where we talk about well-crafted beer in the Central Valley of California, what it is, how to enjoy it, how to make it, and where to find it. I am the Scotsman and Ale Evangelist and your beer-loving host. Beer is not the most important thing in the world to me, but it's definitely up there. Together with my fellow Ale Evangelists Drew, Whitey, and special guest Hank from the Food Fix Truck, we are here to spread the good news of good brews across the land. In the vein of Edgar Allan Poe, what care if we out time advances, we are talking beer today. What's up, guys?
What's up?
How's it going?
Welcome back to the Scots Estate there, Hank.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We are the Ale Evangelist Show, and normally this is where I get into the part of the show where I talk about what we all been drinking. So I have no idea what you guys have been drinking. Are you even? You just drink ciders now, though, right?
Went out to Last Call.
Oh.
So first time going out there.
What'd you think about it?
It was cool. Nice little spot. I had the 108 apricot.
Yeah.
And then...
it's a pale ale.
Was it Goose's Loose Blood Orange or something like that?
Okay, I haven't had that one.
There's a Blood Orange IPA.
Oh, okay.
That was really good.
Was it?
The aroma was incredible. You could smell the blood oranges just like dripping out of it.
Well, that's really good to hear.
And my wife, she didn't care so much for that one, but she did really like the apricot.
I've really, really liked their multi-style beers. Okay. I've really liked their Covered Bridge Brown. They had a coconut version of that I really liked called Palanu, I think, which means brown. And I like their stout. I forget what their stout's called. Stanco Stout. I like those. It's been hit or miss with some of the IPA style beers, especially the ones that I've had in cans. Like I had their Cone of Uncertainty and their Stellar Galaxy. And I don't know, both of those were, you know, more hop forward, and I just wasn't super enamored with them, but it's really good to hear about the Blood Orange one. Super cool.
Yeah, I mean, it smelled like a big glass of, like, orange juice in front of you.
Yeah, 21st Amendment just did a orange IPA that I had at
It's Blood Orange, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's Blood Orange, and it was really good, too. Yeah. I haven't had that Last Call. I had the apricot. We were actually up in Knight's Ferry, and they had it at the 50s.
Mm-hmm. The 50s Roadhouse Diner.
Yeah, and it was a little sweet for me, a little too sweet for me. But
that's what I found with that. It's kind of, I don't know, as a brewer, I'm going to use the term a little, to me, under attenuated, which means that the yeast haven't finished. You know, there's a little more sugars
that can be.
Yeah. And the reason when you say that is because it tastes kind of like wort. If you've ever brewed and you drink the wort before putting the yeast in, it tastes a little like that to me. So. Have you ever had Last Call at all?
No.
You should go over there.
I don't think I have.
It's a cool place. It's a nice little place. They got a couple of TVs, I think, and
it's behind like the Chevron right there on
right by the Shooter's Warehouse.
Yeah, yeah, kind of across from the Tomato. Tiger. And the old Hershey's.
Okay. Yeah.
Shooter's Warehouse.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
I think it's in the same parking lot as Shooter's Warehouse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. The other day I had Wee Heavy. It was McEwen's. You guys ever had McEwen's Wee Heavy?
McEwen's.
Oh, it's been a long time. So Monday we had a church family over. They are a missionary loving family. They're very missions oriented or whatever. And so every year they like pick a culture and learn about it. And then one of the things they do is they make the food of the culture and they eat weird stuff. What's that? For Christmas Eve. That's their Christmas Eve dinner.
Oh, nice.
And they're used to eating like all kinds of weird stuff. And so I was like, well, you guys have had haggis then. And they were like, no. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? You tell me about the weird things you've had and you haven't had haggis? And they're like, no, we haven't. I was like, all right, haggis night coming up. So, dude, have you had haggis, Hank?
I've had a student when I was teaching culinary school try to make it.
Oh,
I don't know if it was right, but it was still horrible.
Well, you can't make traditional haggis in America because lungs are not allowed.
Okay, yeah. And I don't know. It was, yeah, it wasn't for me.
Dude, it was not an authentic recipe.
Dude, we, one of these days.
Blood sausage, right?
No, blood sausage in Scotland it's called black pudding.
Worse.
So haggis is the heart, the lungs, and the liver.
Sorry, ground up.
Chopped up really fine.
Sheep, stomach.
It's also suet and pinhead oats and a lot of pepper.
Yes.
And salt. And yeah, stuffed in a sheep's stomach and boiled for a day.
Oh, yeah.
Or so.
Yeah. Well, that sounds horrible.
It's fantastic.
I know.
When you have good stuff, it's fantastic.
I mean,
one of these days I'll have to. I know where you can get it canned in here. That's actually.
Well, that sounds better.
No, yeah. Now that you mentioned it came in a can,
I'm in.
No, it is a lot better. It's actually. I had
we'll
haggis.
Make a haggis and cool lickle sandwich.
I had haggis all over Scotland and in 2007. And this stuff that they make in Texas and is just it's as good as the best haggis I had in Scotland.
Oh,
okay. I was kind of blown away. And it's canned.
Oh, man.
It's really good. It's good.
Good.
I'll try anything twice. That's what I always say.
Yeah?
Twice?
Will you try it once?
Half a time.
Okay. Maybe we'll do it over your house sometime.
I think it'll probably maybe like three times with you I've had it.
Yeah,
I'll try it.
What do you think?
It's all right. I can be a little bit more of a picky eater every once in a while. And I was like, you got to put it out of your mind what it is. You know, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What you
Does
get
it tastes like organs.
It like tastes a little livery? Like liver. It tastes a little livery, not a lot, especially not when it's just out of the can. Like if you reheat it the next day with your eggs or whatever, which I like to do, it's a little more. It's a little more livery.
Corned beef. Don't you dare.
Dude, I'm telling
eggs?
You.
Corned beef hash?
Yeah.
Yes.
Corned beef haggis.
Haggis hash? 100%.
Get out of my house.
Nope. It's good stuff.
Hashtag haggish.
Haggish.
Hashtagish.
Haggish hash. We haven't even had anything. So yeah, and so one of the things we did was we first thing they came in, I poured them shots of Glenlivet.
Nice.
And so we did the traditional Scottish farst of the day, and then you take a shot, and then
was breakfast.
The second one you do is farst of the day, and you just take a shot, and you just keep doing it until it's obvious that you're lying.
Until you can eat the haggis,
right?
Until you have exactly.
Oh man! So what's going on with the food fix truck these days? Like I think after we had you on last, and I want to say it was the Ale Evangel show that got you this accolade, but you guys got like a best food truck in America.
Yeah, it was right. I think it was right around there. I honestly, that came out last April, and I didn't really realize it until late last year that we got that. Got on that list again because in 2016 we got on the list and we got number 86.
Uh-huh.
And so I wasn't really thinking too much of it. I didn't think we'd get number one or anything, but I was actually doing a. You know, business plan. We're trying to start a restaurant, and I was like, "Oh, I wondered that new list came out. Let me look." And I'm like, "You got to start at 101." So I'm going through the list, and I was like, "Man,
we didn't get to 50."
I got to 50. I was just about to say, I got to 50, and I was like, "Man, we didn't even make the list this year. This is stupid." I was like, and I got to like 15, and I was like, "Well, I better finish it." And then I was like, oh, no way. And I freaked out, and I woke up the baby.
Oh, shit.
And everything. Yeah, Ashley was mad. My wife was mad.
I bet.
But
I understand.
But, yeah, I don't know. And then she started celebrating, too. It was pretty exciting.
Dude.
I never thought too much about this food truck when we opened it. I was like, I'm just going to try my best. But that list was one of my goals, like, just to make it on that list. And, you know, when we got 86, on. I was so stoked.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like.
Plus, you got 86th, right? So.
Yeah. So, yeah, when I got, I don't know, just being on that list was awesome.
And then, yeah, dude, I was sharing that all over the place. That was pretty rad.
So, you said you guys are working on a restaurant location now?
Yeah, we're working on it. I got the whole business plan together. We're trying to get together with a lender and, you know, it's in the works. Yeah, it's in the works.
So, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to do the same type of food you do on the truck?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do our same sandwich, just kind of expand it.
Yeah.
You know, throw some burgers in there.
Are you going to keep the food truck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely keep the food truck.
You need some shirts that say we're number one, just when you go to meet with the lenders and stuff, just so they understand. We're number one.
Yeah, the actual lender, I called her and talked to her about it when we did it, or when I found out. They're pretty stoked.
That's pretty. They're pretty.
So they're the same people that gave us a loan for the food truck.
Okay. Well, that's been good enough for them.
Small business loan for that, and they were really excited.
Well, yeah, and they're pulling for you, you know.
Yeah, cool. they're really, you know, yeah, behind us in what we want to do.
Sure. So you've had a lot of specials since we had you on last. A lot of various carnivores and or what do you call them?
The carnitivores. Yeah, the carnitivore and the corned beast.
Oh, I've
been doing that one.
The corned beast ones are always.
What's your favorite? I mean, it's, you know, my sandwiches are like my children, but you know.
I love the carnitas. Well, the carnivore special, because when I work the truck, when we have that, I just bring tortillas and I make tacos.
All day.
But I mean, the carnitas themselves are ridiculous.
Yeah, the carnitas are really good.
They're bacon fat cooked, so it's a little different than just lard. They have that smokiness, that flavor.
It definitely does something.
Probably my favorite sandwich. I don't know, because the corned beast is always.
The corned beast amazing. Is good, and that's coming up. For St. Patty's
Day, yeah.
St. Patty's,
it's going to be here. We're going to do huge corned beef week.
What beer are you going to use?
Well, we've been using Blaker
beer
for pretty much everything. We did a couple sausage specials with the Blaker beer.
Oh, those are
and
good.
The Blaker brats.
Those ones we smoked at my house. I made sausage pepper, like rustico.
Oh, yeah.
The next day. Oh, yes.
Yeah, those ones were good. Those were good.
Blaker's tearing it up, dude.
Yeah. Oh, you should see that place.
I have.
When we had the food truck there, it is just nonstop.
Is it hopping? Oh, dude.
It's
pretty busy on its own. Like, I've gone there a couple of times, and I'm pleased at how well Tom and Tyler are doing there.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
No, those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
I was there Sunday. I stopped by there and just to meet with the barbecue sauce guy, the Five Monkeys barbecue sauce guy.
Oh, yeah.
Had a beer with him, and we were talking about because I'm trying to do some spice rubs and stuff.
Oh yeah!
And he's going to show me how to get it bottled or packaged up. And they were packed. There was like a line. They had a barbecue guy there, Rusty Pit Barbecue, and it was killer barbecue, killer brisket sandwiches, nice. And it's just a million people there. You can't even walk around
out in the like nowhere in series.
Yeah,
it's great.
When you drive up to that place, it's a lot like, I mean, not quite in scale, but just in quality. It's like driving up to a Firestone Walker. It reminds me a lot of that, where you drive up and there's a big grain silo with the Blaker logo on it in stainless, and you're like, that's freaking rad, dude.
Yeah.
I'm entering a theme park of beer here.
And it's cool.
And then you climb up
the food truck barely makes it up.
I was wondering if it did.
Yeah, we're scraping. We're like a half an inch of clearance getting up that driveway.
I know.
Yeah, the first time was pretty intense.
And you don't want to park at the bottom of that, because then all the drunken people have to walk down to your food truck,
stumble down,
stumble back up for the next beer.
There's got to be some liability issues with the insurance. Oh,
they said that the delivery trucks, especially for some of the big stuff that they get, like big things of grain or whatever, are ridiculous. They have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
It is, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah.
You gotta get it in there.
They just didn't realize it was going to be that big of a grade. And there's not a whole lot they can do, because they'll lose parking spaces if they flatten it out any.
Yeah.
So, and they don't have a ton of parking. I mean, they've got.
There's a lot of good street parking there.
There's tons. I mean, that's usually what it is. The whole street's just, you're like, oh, there's people there.
That's funny.
When you turn the corner on Montclair there.
That's great.
It's funny when my wife and I went there, like when you turn down Montclair, just off to the left, there's a long cul-de-sac out all dirt lots right there.
Yeah.
And the sheriff was sitting out at the very end
watching
the intersection. And I'm like,
dude.
He's poaching. That's poaching.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
That's not fair game.
There was one there when I was leaving with the food truck one night. Yeah. And I just hit the... You know, Dukes of Hazzard horn that we have on the food trucks.
It gives you the wave.
It's just funny. Like, the law enforcement, well, especially Modesto Police Department and stuff, they're always at it. Sometimes it looks like the food truck's getting raided over there on 9th Street. Like, there's like 12 guys taking up all the, like, two of the tables, and then, you know, four squad cars out. It's pretty awesome.
Wondering,
we love it.
Like, are they got donuts there? Are they making sandwiches donuts? What are they doing over there?
Dude, Thin Blue Line. But then every time I go there, I always see a bunch of people from MID right up the street.
Yeah, MID's constantly there.
Oh, dude, it's super close. They just walk right up, it's next door to them practically, just right across 9th Street. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right on. So we're going to do a show beer. We're going to do a couple of show beers because I did not know that Whitey and Hank were going to bring some awesome beer.
Yeah, we're bearing gifts.
They come bearing gifts. So the first show beer we have today is Crux Cast Out India Pale Ale. Let me get some glasses down here.
Yeah.
So I've had Crux, but it's been quite a while.
Yeah, Hank brought over some of the Half Hitch the other day to my house. Super Bowl, yeah. And we drank that. I really liked it. So I went to the market the other day, saw Patrick, and then saw this there. So figured I'd try it.
Yeah, I saw those there the other day.
Yeah.
Last week when I was there.
In the can, so no bottle top noise.
Yeah, that and then that other one. I got those. And
we had a bottle of barrel-aged, like a barrel-aged stout from them early on in the show, I remember.
I remember that.
I got that when I was up in Oregon. So that was when it was still hard to find, like, stuff that wasn't, you know, just normal, like, Firestone Walker, you know.
Right.
And so when I went up to Oregon, I like, hunted out some good stores up there to get some beers at. Now it's like you just go across town to the market and...
Yeah, and he's got everything you could ever want. And then some.
Everything.
You got to love the market.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Who doesn't love the market? I love the smell of this beer.
That is looking tasty. So now, what is this again?
This is a bad one. This is the cast out.
This is juicy right here.
So this is their cast out India Pale Ale. Many breweries procure their hops right from here in the Northwest, but this beer features the Galaxy Hop from Australia, a country famously populated by England's cast out convicts.
Super bitter.
Cast out IPA employs these hops aggressively from hop back to dry hopping stages, yet the result is a balanced and bronzy ale with medium hop bitterness complemented by moderate maltiness, showcasing aromas and flavors reminiscent of passion fruit.
Okay, I'm not a big IPA guy. But I could drink this all day long.
It's delicious.
It is juicy. This is freaking awesome. Yeah.
So in the nose, it's 100% passion fruit.
Oh, that's great.
On the nose, that's like really what I'm getting. Just a ton of passion fruit, mango.
What's the IBUs in this? Do we know?
Chris is always asking about the IBUs.
I'm just curious. I try to remember where I'm at when I drink them.
60.
Really?
60.
I would have guessed more.
Well... It's what, 7.6? So that's actually pretty high.
7.6,
% ABV for an
That's good.
That's really nicely balanced. That's not that bitter.
No, it's not. It's not bitter at all.
No.
Now that I had a drink of it already.
Get your picture, Drew.
Not crazy bitter at all.
Yeah. So definitely juicy.
Yeah.
It's relatively clear, light haze. Not all that unexpected for an IPA. That's coming from the dry hops. In the beer.
So it seems kind of yellow. More of a yellowish than the darker.
It said bronzy on there. I wouldn't say this is bronze. This is...
No, it's yellow.
It's more gold.
Dark straw, maybe.
Yeah.
Now, I think if it was colder, I wouldn't care as much for it. Being a little bit warmer and the sugar comes out...
I could see that.
I think is definitely...
So what happens when it gets warmer is the malt actually comes up significantly, and then the hops drop down. So if it were colder, it would definitely be a lot more bitter, a lot more harshly bitter, I think. That's really good. I've had some from Crux. They have their Mosaic Double IPA or whatever. That one's really good. I think, yeah, we did have one early on in the show.
It was a barrel-aged porter or stout. Yeah. That one was a couple years old when we had it, too.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've only had a couple of their stuff. This one, and I've had that Half Hitch that you brought over. That one was really good too.
Yeah, Half Hitch was good. It was
Double IPA too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was double.
This
is
a single.
I think it was a
single. Yeah.
No, yeah, it was. I think it was the double.
The Half Hitch was double.
Yeah,
it was double IPA. Mosaic and.
Yeah, I'm liking those Mosaic.
Mosaic.
Beers.
and Galaxy.
Become really popular like right now. Huh? And the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Is that the one, the Revolution one that Patrick had? Was that Galaxy? I don't know. It had a cat in a Galaxy kind of theme on the...
That wouldn't surprise me then. Galaxy, yeah. Like they said, it's in Australia, New Zealand. Some of the best hops are coming out of New Zealand. I think Mosaic is actually coming out of Pacific Northwest, though. Okay. So that's good. Mosaic is really good. I like Mosaic because it can, as long as it's done well, if it's harvested too late, it can kind of get a little oniony. But before that, it's super melon. I love the melon, like honeydew, yeah. Juan de Canary melon. That's
what,
my
thing. A what? Juan de?
Juan de Canary.
Oh, Juan de Canary.
Do you think I'm making it up?
No, I'm
not. Hank, am I making it up?
Canary melon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanda, the reason I call Wanda it Juan de Canary is that's
your
what we.
Wanda?
No, that's what we. it's Juan or J A U N E, actually.
Like Mary?
Which is French for John.
I thought it was Spanish.
No, and it's, a melon that they sell. A lot over in Europe too.
Super sweet,
yeah. Canary melon,
sugar sweet.
Is that the one that's super bright, sweet. Bright yellow?
Yes. Yeah, it looks like a football.
White flesh,
Yeah.
Right. When it gets extra ripe, the flesh almost turns clear.
And it's candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We made soup with it, like a chilled soup,
like a gazpacho kind of a.
Yeah, it's basically like chilled soup. It's the melon, a little bit of salt, and champagne.
Okay.
For body. Huh. Yeah, and it's like the best soup ever.
Really?
Yeah, we do that on our catering menu. We do little shooters.
Ah. Nice.
Of that.
Right on.
That's crazy.
So, Hank, what is your favorite Mac that you do? Hank's big on the Macs.
Favorite Mac and cheese?
Yeah. That's like been available on the truck.
That's a tough, yeah. The pizza, pepperoni pizza Mac, yeah. I'd have to say like.
That was a good idea.
You're going to claim that one too?
I wasn't.
Why do you think he's the real brains behind the food truck?
I just remember going, dude, a pizza Mac would be so delicious. And I looked at Hank and said, can you make a good red sauce? And probably like if looks could kill, I would have died. Of course, Italian.
I didn't say, do you know I taught culinary school for 8 years?
You did, but I blocked that out every time.
Now, the Pizza Mac, we've made it probably 4 or 5 times. And this last time we were at Blaker, I had it and
Teresa Mac.
I actually ate it, like put it all together and had a plate because sometimes I just don't eat the food.
You just invent it.
I'll taste it. Oh, you know, okay. Taste the elements of it or whatever. It. But yeah, I always taste. But I actually sat and I had it all together, and I was like, "Wow, that's really." I don't know. I don't really say that too much about the food that I make, but that one, the jalapeno popper mac, is probably always going to be my favorite.
Bacon. That's my favorite
popper mac.
What,
the bacon wrapped jalapeno?
I haven't had the bacon one.
We just did that last week, like all week.
I don't know, dude, because like the. The chorizo mac? The
chorizo mac was
so good.
Chorizo mac was good, but when we did it with the Lockford sausage chorizo.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
Because I had a mule bring me some Lockford sausage one time, and we used the Lockford, the chorizo that they make at Lockford sausage. And
it's more of a sausage.
That's my favorite chorizo.
Oh, yeah. Really? Have you had that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is hands down my favorite chorizo.
And it was a guy, it was actually a customer. Who he's a Mac fanatic. I forget his name, but he came by and was like, when are you going to make chorizo Mac again? I was like, maybe I'll make it next week. And he's all, you need to get Lockford sausage, Lockford chorizo. And I was like, I can make that happen. I know a guy that travels that way. So yeah, my buddy is a chef.
And doesn't mind waiting in line.
Yeah. And he stopped and got me. Yeah.
James. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
That guy's an amazing cook. Dude.
Oh, he's an amazing chef. Yeah. But
I gotta try that bacon. Good. Next time you got the bacon, I gotta try it.
The bacon jalapeno popper was pretty
excellent. See, here's my thing. I've come to the food truck like 4 times when you guys were gonna have mac and cheese.
It's sold out.
And sold out.
You gotta get there.
And I'm like, oh my gosh.
You know which other one is really good? And
you eat lunch
underrated?
At like 2:30 though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta be there early.
There'll be a fresh batch at dinner time if we're at like McHenry Bowl or something.
That's true. Yeah. The roasted garlic mac.
Ooh. The Alfredo?
That one was really good and underrated.
Yeah.
I think.
It is. I mean, it's...
That's so good.
Yeah, cool. It's kind of really Alfredo.
Yeah?
I mean, well, Alfredo pasta. But, yeah, it's just roasted garlic and Parmesan.
Sure.
It's so good.
But it's just...
No cream or anything like that?
No, it's just that the classic bechamel sauce. Wow. I mean, all our food is really simple. It's really simple techniques.
It's simple, old school cooking.
Yeah.
It really is. It's
why don't people cook that way anymore, you think?
It's a pain.
It takes a lot of time. Everything we do takes really so much time.
That's what we're saying before the show. Like, if I opened a food truck, it would not be that way.
Yeah, I mean, making our bread.
I'm too lazy for that. It's ridiculous. I mean, the amount of time that goes into everything on that truck, people don't understand. It's not the style of that people cook that way anymore. Right. Nobody does that. You know, it's just
There's restaurants and restaurants don't even make their own bread.
No.
But yeah. We literally have a full time baker now.
Oh yeah.
And he just all he really does. I mean, he'll do other prep stuff and stuff, but pretty much 7 out of 8 hours of his day, full time, he's making bread and our cookies. And
oh yeah. This is our
favorite cookie. Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles? You put that on today, didn't you?
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
The Fruity Pebbles cookie
and the Nacho Mama. Good.
That one's
not
great.
Nacho Mama's butterscotch doodle thing.
No, yeah. it's butterscotch no. bacon
butterscotch chip. Chocolate chip.
And that one's great, but when she did those walkie special ones.
Oh yeah, that was
those ones without the Caramel Delights on it. It's basically a Caramel Delight style cookie.
What's Caramel Delight?
Like Samoa's, like Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's that style, but his wife like made her own basically. Okay. Those cookies were the Nutella cinnamon rolls, but those don't count because
those are secret.
Apparently, those are amazing pretzel roll.
No one listens.
Roll bun, Nutella, cinnamon sugar rolled up.
Yeah, those are amazing. It's our pretzel dough. We're gonna do that
whenever
someday.
Yeah,
those are pretty much the most amazing things.
Those things are ridiculous.
It's insane.
Have the Not Your Mama's always been chocolate chip?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're chocolate and butterscotch.
Yeah.
And then topped with bacon.
Topped with bacon and sea salt.
Those are legit.
Oh, that's right. Sea salt, too.
Yeah, those are tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah. I'd say those are.
Keep that on the BL, you know what I'm saying? What's this charge from Square, the food fix truck? Nothing! Nothing! I don't know what you're talking about.
I get that all the time with Blaker.
I bet, because they're not the cheapest beer out there.
How to get it to quit going to her email.
Dude.
Hey, let's barter.
So, on the way to work, I was, I didn't have any breakfast or whatever, and so I stopped by Jack in the Box real quick, have a breakfast burrito, and it asked me right after I left to rate it on my phone. I was like, whatever. And then Kim texts me, my wife texts me, and she's like, why is my phone asking me to rate Jack in the Box? Is that where you went for breakfast? Dude, Jack in the Box told on me?
Snitched you out hard.
Totally did.
Breakfast blocked you.
Not cool, man.
And you wonder why I'm a cash man.
Right?
Oh, man. Dude, let's get this other beer cracked
open. Yeah, let's do that one.
So this one is from Michelar, and I really like Michelar. I think that their any style beers are fantastic. The best one I've had is their Marathon Man, I think it was, or something like that.
Is this the place that did the Freddie Mercury one?
Yes.
I like that beer.
That was a great beer.
Great beer.
Was that the one with the passion fruit or something? There was another one, too, that had passion fruit.
I can't remember the other one. I just remember it was Freddie Mercury.
So this one is...
Merc, like M-U-R-K.
Mercury. This is a triple.
Yeah.
It's a triple dry hopped, New England style, triple India Pale Ale. It is... it's 10.2% alcohol by volume. It is the Hammerhead Corvette. Looks like it's very Evel Knievel inspired.
Yes. James Deanish.
I had one of theirs a long time ago. It was 1,000 IBU.
What?
It said, that's what it said on the bottle. It didn't taste too crazy to me, but I don't even know how you can get that many.
We can't even taste that much.
No.
Can we?
You're not. You can't taste over 100 or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I think it was called, though, the 1,000 IBU.
I wonder if it actually supposedly had 1,000 IBUs.
Well, this is different than I thought it was going to be.
This is going to be Andrew's style right here.
Yeah.
Ooh, New England style.
Those are tasty.
Oh.
You guys haven't had New England style yet.
I don't think I don't think I have very many.
You got to.
This one's sweet.
The Mercury is.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, yeah.
These guys make awesome beer, though. I've actually been to their little tap room in San Francisco.
That smells nice.
Have you?
Yeah, with my wife. It was a few years ago, but
before they started taking on this New England style thing, I couldn't get into their beers. I'd had a couple, and I wasn't super impressed with them. But especially now that they're in, they started in San Diego too, coming out with just some crazy New England, and I just love their beer now.
Wow, this is
a lovely beer. This I smell like wood.
Yeah.
So the mouthfeel, on that bad boy.
So smooth.
It's thick.
It's sweet.
It's like it's like one of those Kern's neck. It's like a Kern's Nectar IPA is what it is. You remember those Kern's Nectar?
Yeah. Yep. Oh my gosh, this is freaking amazing.
And that's what you do when you do a triple style New England style IPA. I'm drooling because of the juiciness.
Oh my god, that is so insane. Good.
Yeah.
Dude, now that I said nectar, you're thinking about nectar.
Yeah,
nectar.
It's like...
Yeah, that is a tasty, tasty beer.
That is rocking.
So, quick point of trivia. Mickler, the guy who owns Mickler, I forget his name, but I think it's Mickler or something.
Makes sense.
Do you know who his brother is?
Good guess.
Mickler?
Nope. Damn. It's a twin brother. That's a hint.
Well, it's definitely Mickler.
His last name is
Michelob.
Close. His
that's a good guess.
Twin brother, evil. Is he evil?
He's evil. He's the evil twin.
Evil Samson. Twin. Oh, yeah.
He's evil twin brewing.
No way.
His twin brother is evil twin.
That makes sense.
They don't get along.
That is cool. Did this guy open his?
They
first?
Don't get along.
Mickler was first, I believe.
Okay,
yeah.
So then yeah, he's
they
like,
totally
I'm the
don't
evil
get along.
Twin.
No,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
I read an article about it. They don't get along, and one of them thinks the other's kind of a jerk, and the other one thinks the other guy's kind of a reserved nutbag or something. I don't know. But, Evil Twin has been a gypsy brewery for a long time. He doesn't have his own – or he didn't have his own facility. I think he's getting one now. But Mickler is –
he was, leasing out, to do runs and stuff.
Yeah, he'd brew it all kinds of different places. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I do remember that.
So, yeah. So, one of them is Jeppy. Jeppy something or other, and the other ones, I don't remember. Guys.
Jeppy.
We talked about it on the show once, but yeah, Evil Twin. They make some good beers.
Evil Twin, they had a lemonade IPA? Or
that's rad. The only beer that I've had from them that I didn't like was their Wet Dream.
Oh, really?
I had a Wet Dream, and it wasn't my favorite thing in the world.
Oh. I always buy them because really the single to mess cans. The single
it's
cans.
It's like one of the hardest things to mess up.
Patrick always has single cans
and
I'll just grab a few and
they're usually really, really good.
They're really good. They're really, really good when you're washing a food truck at 10 o'clock at night. I'll tell you that right now.
Or dishes at 6 and you're wet. Yeah, that's nice.
I like the Hammerhead Corvette.
I'm down.
No, this is freaking rocking.
Yeah, dude. I love that thick mouthfeel of those really New England style. Double and triples. They're the best.
I'm really into that.
Yeah. Some of them kind of have, they almost have a burnt aftertaste now. And mm-hmm. I think it's when they start to get a little bit of age on them. These really need to be drunk fresh because all the stuff that hazes it up is really on the staley side. It stales beers a lot faster. So drink it as fresh as you can get it.
But I thought this had a little smokiness to it.
I smell the wood and floral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot. But.
All right. We're going to go on ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we will be we'll be drinking the Blaker that Hank brought, and I'm looking forward to that one. I think it's going to be a little like this one here. I'm hoping anyway.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we're also going to be talking a little about IPAs and IBUs in general, and why we're talking about them. You will find out when we come back on the Ale Evangelist Show.
I went downstairs, made coffee this morning, and for some reason today it just tastes like mud. I have no idea why. I make the coffee every day. I make it the same way. I have 3 different kinds of coffee. I have a morning blend, which is kind of a medium blend. That's usually what I have when I first wake up. Then I have a dark blend that I really like. And then I have an espresso blend that I like after dinner or something like that. But I make them the same way. And for some reason today it just tastes like crap. And I don't know why.
Plausibly Live, the official podcast of The Dave Bowman Show. There are a few things in life that let you know when you're becoming a man. Like getting a driver's license, filling out college applications, and registering with Selective Service. Registration is the law, and it's easy if you go online at www.sss.gov. Plus, you stay eligible for college loans, government jobs, and job training. Get this. You can't renew your driver's license in most states if you haven't registered. So be a man. Register with Selective Service on your 18th birthday at www.sss.gov.
This is Jay from Jay's Politics Blog Podcast, and you're listening to the Podcast 99 Network.
Welcome back to the Ale Evangelist Show. We've been talking about cutlery
during the break.
Knives and what have you.
Knives and stuff. I don't know much about knives, but...
I like them sharp.
Yeah?
And I'm
always sharp.
Because you need to, like, cut things with them, right?
Cut my fingertip off.
Well, there you go. Why did you do that?
I was cutting cabbage for coleslaw, and I was looked up at the clock, and I was like, yes, I am going to leave here in 5 minutes. And then one, that's my finger, one more, there it is. Yep, got her twice. Cut a nice, good, like, quarter inch off the tip.
Yeah, you.
So it was like a red slaw.
It was weird because like I kind of freaked out a little bit and was like, oh, that's pretty bad. Like my finger's still kind of messed up and doesn't work right. Or I mean, I don't feel stuff. But like
it comes back after like 4 more years.
Okay, cool. I'll look forward to it. But yeah, then I was like, oh no. And I grabbed it and I looked and there's like, you know, a little bit of blood on the cabbage rose. I was like, oh yeah, I need to throw that away. And like grabbed that little bit of cabbage and threw that away and was like, yeah, that's probably okay. And then I was like, oh man, I'm really bleeding. I need like band-aids and first aid kit. And then I looked down and saw a couple more drops and I was like, oh man, I should throw that cabbage away too. Pick that up out of the pile of cabbage and throw it away. Then I'm like, what are you doing? That's all trash because it has blood and fingertips in it. So it goes in the garbage, all of it.
But he was in shock.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I need to stop this bleeding. And oh, there's so many things I need to do.
That was a legitimate fingertip,
too. Yeah, it was a good one. And then the funny thing was, so I got it bandaged up pretty good, like stopped bleeding and everything. I drove home. You know, it was 20, 30 minutes later, maybe 40 minutes later. I was like, you know, I should probably change this Band-Aid out. And I grab a Band-Aid, a paper towel, and I'm in my kitchen. And I'm just like, because this is not going to bleed. I mean, it hasn't bled for like 30 minutes now. As soon as I took it off, bloop, 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 all over my kitchen. I'm like, oh, no, this is bad. So I grab it, just kind of shove it into my hand and run outside because I have first aid kit in my Jeep. And I'm just like out there just dripping blood all over the sidewalk. And this couple comes walking up with their dog and they're like, hi. Hey, how's it going? I'm like, hey. And they're like, oh my God, their dog's trying to lick my blood. Everybody's freaking out. And I'm just like, oh no, I'm good. Just getting a first aid. No big deal. Just cut the tip of my finger off. There's nothing to see here.
Yeah. I renew my workman's comp insurance.
Yeah. Dude, that was brutal. I never cut the tip of my finger off like that, you know, working.
No, I have. I've
got some good cuts, but never like that.
Squared my middle finger off in culinary school in like 1999, and it was square. Like where my fingernail stopped.
Yeah.
That was it. Like my finger was just square. It didn't have that round part right here. Yeah. And then it was about 4 years. It grew back, and then you could feel it again. And then that's it was cool. Just kind of disappointing because you were used to be like, that was your finger you touched all the hot stuff with.
Yeah. You check temperature with that finger.
Yeah. It's fine. It's the dead finger.
Yeah.
But dude, so I still remember one time. This is like my most traumatic food experience, I think. I was in San Jose at a cheesesteak shop getting some lunch, and we get our
cheesesteak shop.
Yeah,
no, like the cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak.
Yeah. Cheesesteak shop. Like Philly.
Philly. Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So the one that's in the Bay, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. The chain.
I don't remember. It was in downtown San Jose. We get our sandwiches. They like just hand them to us, and you hear one of the guys in the back. Hey, man, did you see what happened to Mike's finger last night? He's like, yeah. Man, I couldn't believe those photos. There was blood all over this kitchen. And you're just like, oh, God. Really, dude? I don't even want my sandwich anymore. Seriously.
So this isn't the worst one, but this was the stupidest thing I ever did. So I was with a knife, because I don't do a lot of cutting or whatever, but I was doing networking work. And so what happens is with networking is you have wires, little tiny wires, like phone cable wires.
Yes.
And you gotta punch them into this thing that's got two blades right up next to each other, and you just jam them in between. The blades cut the insulation and make the connection so that when you plug things into the jack, it makes the connection, right? Well, I didn't have a punch down tool. And so what I should have done was not done the work.
Was get one.
Right. What I should have done was waited until I had a punch down tool. What I did was look around and find the X-Acto knife.
That'll cut
and,
real good.
So my thought was I just hold the thing and pry it apart and somehow push the thing down in while I'm prying it apart. And what I did was I just went zinc right into my thumb.
Yeah.
It just started bleeding all down it was bleeding a lot, and it was on a carpeted area. And so I run into the bathroom, I'm washing it, and it's just not stopping bleeding.
No, it's a thumb.
So I asked my buddy Gabe, and he's like, I don't know, get some toilet paper. And so I was like, all right, toilet paper all around it. And so there's this giant light bulb looking thing of toilet paper on the end. And then I go, gauze tape, bring the gauze tapes. So it's just this huge, tight ball of stuff, right? And I got a stick shift. And so I call Kim, and she's still at her dad's house, and her dad's a doctor. And so I told Kim, I'm like, I stabbed myself with an X-Acto knife just a little bit. And it kind of bled all over. I don't know. It feels okay, but maybe he wants to look at it. And so she's like, well, I got my dad look at it. I was like, all right. So I go over there, and her dad's like, all right, what'd you do to yourself? You know, and
you're going
to
need stitches.
His bedside manner when he's not at work is maybe less than comforting.
It's not a comforting doctor, Phil, when he's not getting paid.
No, he's very not. And so I was sitting there, and I go, yeah, I was using an X-Acto knife, and I just stabbed myself. And he's like, you're a computer guy. What were you using an X-Acto knife for?
Fair
and I was
question.
Like, well, it was just something I was trying to pry up. It's not important. So what I did, though, was I accidentally slipped and stabbed myself in the thumb, and it bled a little. It was kind of concerning. And he goes, all right, well, let's take a look. And I hold it up, and he's like, that is a fine wrap job that you did on that. I was like, well, you know, one hand, and Gabe's laughing, rolling on the floor. He can't stop laughing because I stabbed myself with an X-Acto knife.
That's what I got in the field.
Which is what he told me that I would do when I grabbed the X-Acto knife. He said, you're going to stab yourself. And I told him no, and then I did. And so he can't stop laughing. He can't even breathe anymore. So I had to do it myself with my hand, and I was concerned because there was blood. Well, we pull the thing off. There is a tiny pinprick of blood in the wrap thing. And he's like, and he looks, and he can't find where I stabbed myself. Like, he's moving my thumb
such
around.
A clean cut.
He's like doing this because my thumb's bent back pretty far. And he's like, you want a Band-Aid for that? No. Well, aren't you glad I looked at it? Dude, it bled more than I thought it was going to be. I was such a clean cut with an X-Acto knife.
And
it was
thumb,
gone.
So
it was gone. I felt like such an idiot. You want a Band-Aid for that? No, I'm fine. Thank you.
You got a good one. You stabbed your hand, didn't you, cutting cheese?
Yeah, cutting a block of cheese. I got 10 stitches. See that?
Oh. Yeah, that was a good one.
Right in the palm. They said I was extremely lucky I didn't hit any tendons or anything in there.
Not be able to close your hand.
But it gushed blood, and I saw, like, what fat tissue looks like.
Ah!
Because I went all the way, like, I went a good inch in with a 12-inch chef knife and, like, just did one of these in it. And it
tried to push on the outside, like, the block, and then slipped off.
I hate
off.
That.
Yeah, my hand slipped, and then the muscle memory brought it back and just shoved my whole palm in the. And I still think I hold the record at the culinary school for stitches, 10 stitches. And
I don't know how many that was, but I got that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I shattered my hand.
That was glass.
Oh, wow.
I was punching something.
I shattered my hand punching something. It was a.
That'll get you.
Yeah, it was a giant beach ball, is what it was.
A beach ball?
Yeah, it was a. Yeah, I mean, it was a big beach ball. I mean, let's not okay. minimize this beach
Ooh.
Ball.
Oh, in that case, wow,
a big beach ball.
So here's
Makes
what I
think. That's why it completely shattered your
here's,
baby.
Here's
head.
What I think. Here's what I think I did.
I think you didn't drink any milk growing up. That's what I think.
I think what happened was my buddy. I know my buddy was
Got
running.
A pillow fight broke my nose.
Was running at me, and I didn't see him. Derek was running at me, and I didn't see him, and I hit it as hard as I could. But it didn't go anywhere. Yeah. It didn't go anywhere. I think I hit him in the head because he did. He went in and then got shot back out, and he landed on his head, and a hat pin stabbed him in the back of his head.
That's
and
what you get.
I was just like, there's never been poppy noises when I squeezed my hand like that. And it was going, and I was like, Ow.
Oh, that's bad. Boxer's fracture?
It wasn't fun. Yeah, it just it forked itself is what it did.
Boxer's
fracture. On a freaking beach ball.
That'll get you.
How it's always like, cutting cheese.
Who cut the cheese?
I cut cheese.
Who knew?
One of the biggest restaurant injuries ever
that I've ever had.
I lift high the bottle of pineapple. What is this? Pineapple milkshake IPA.
Yeah.
From Blaker.
I'm excited about this one. I had a little, quarter of a sip.
It's been traveling.
A quarter of a sip. And it was delicious.
Let's do this.
I have not had this, but it sounds amazing.
I'll take all
this is
pretty much full.
They kegged it, literally. They kegged it and put it on tap about an hour before I got this growler. So, and I had a couple pints when I was there. I'm not going to
lie. Oh, my God. This smells so good.
I'm doing a hard pour because I want to get some head on that.
Unlock the aroma.
This just looks insanely delicious.
It is super cloudy.
You can really smell those hops just coming out.
Put that over there.
Get a picture of
this. Pineapple juice or I always get the pineapple
later.
What's the Mexican ice creams called?
The La Michoacan ones?
Yeah, the Michoacan. I always get the pineapple ones. Yeah, the pina.
Yeah.
And that's what it reminded me of.
Is it when your wife's Mexican?
Huh?
Is it because your wife's Mexican?
Yeah, or something like that. Spanish? Okay.
She's a Spanish.
She is a white girl. This beer is excellent. So you said this one has
caps.
You said this has lactose in it?
Pineapple juice and lactose. So the lactose, does anyone else know? I could just talk to the whole show, but does anyone know why lactose in the beer?
Lactose doesn't
mouthfeel.
The beer yeast can't digest it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Non-fermentable.
So it gives it, non-fermentable. So the... Like I said, I've had a few of these. it doesn't break it down, so it gives it that creaminess.
Creamy mouthfeel and a little bit of sweetness. A little bit of sweetness that, bacteria will break it down, so you want to make sure your process is correct or clear if you're going to be aging this at all. This shouldn't be aged. This should not be aged.
This isn't going to
go very
far. It probably won't last tomorrow.
We're hoping that. No?
Nope. I doubt it.
It won't make it very far.
It shouldn't make it past this show.
This is is freaking awesome.
I do get more of the grain than I got last time. I get almost just like a dry barley character, kind of in the middle palate. On the front, it's just super juicy and thick, and then in the middle palate, I almost get it. Almost is just like a barley husk kind of a flavor, which is good because I mean the thing's made with barley, but you don't always taste it on these.
Man, it is sweet and tart a little bit.
Yeah, this is good. This is amazing. Yeah, like you said, sweet, tart.
It's got that little tart back to it.
Pineapple, a little bit of bitterness that balances it out.
Pineapple's not overwhelming, which I'm glad about.
Because when I first saw this, I was thinking of the pineapple sculpin, which I was not a fan of because it was
super
fake, like the fake pineapple.
It tasted
candy.
Like they used extract or like artificial. Right. It's too sweet or too much of it. This one, you get it
it's
when
subtle.
You smell it. You smell like that a little bit of pineapple.
But I mean, this one's like enough to where if you were to tell me that it wasn't brewed with pineapple, like that's just a hop characteristics. Okay. I'd be like, all right, well, that's cool.
Well, you did. You have the hopping for this, right? You talked to Tyler.
Yeah, it was Citra and Denali.
Denali,
which he called Nuggetzilla.
Nuggetzilla meaning – so he called the Denali Nuggetzilla?
Yeah, that's what he said.
So Nugget is a style of hop. Nugget is a cultivar of hop. And whatever characteristics he's saying that a Nugget has, this is like even more. I've never brewed with
this
Denali.
This is the Godzilla?
Godzilla?
Godzilla
of Nuggets? That's awesome.
No, he said they referred to it as that.
So this is – how many IBUs, Drew? You saw the label. Was it 32?
34.
I could believe that of this.
Yeah, this is mellow. Like I said, this is a very, very smooth.
Man, every beer we've had tonight has just been on point.
Oh, man. Every one of these.
Now, this is great. I usually get the Plowed Under. Have you had that one? Have you tried their
Plowed? That one is excellent.
Which one is that?
Their West Coast IPAs.
I have not had that.
That so good. Is ridiculous.
I finished off that growler you left me.
Yeah.
Has he talked to you about the difficulties that he had with his old system and hops and hoppy beers?
No.
So on the old system, he did not have a direct fire boil kettle. So he was sending it through. Remember the bazooka tube that I got when I was going to build my recirculation infusion mash? So it's a big stainless tube.
Oh, bazooka tube.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a big stainless tube with tri-clover fittings.
Oh, now you're going to look at me?
Well, you're the dumb one. So
that's fair. get out there, you want to drill a hole, we'll see who's dumb.
That'd be me. I'd be the last person you want drilling a hole into the core of the earth. So anyway, yeah. So
anyway, so what
it's a bazooka tube. It's
oh, yeah. It's a, you know, 6-inch sub. Do you know what a bazooka tube? Put it in the back of your Honda Civic. Rattles everything. That's right. Sounds horrible.
Along with my fart can exhaust
and
system.
And then you just put no mids, no tweets.
Right.
So just rattle, and that's it.
And then you play Beastie Boys, License to Ill,
yeah, Paul Revere. Anything from Paul Revere.
Paul Revere.
That's, yeah.
Wah, oh, wah, man. Wah, wah, wah.
1998. Oh,
good stuff. Good stuff. Those guys were licensed to ill,
anyway,
I'll tell you
so
what.
Bazooka tube?
Bazooka tube. So at the top and the bottom are tri-clover fittings, which are sanitary food fittings primarily. Okay. And what they are is basically two pieces of metal that come together. They have a groove around the hole, basically. Mm-hmm. There's a little silicone gasket that makes the connection. Sure. And then you have a cuff that goes around the outside and tightened down.
Okay. Yeah.
Tri-clover fitting, hot water heater on one side, temperature probe on the other side, in, out, or in, out.
Vice versa.
And yeah, it just goes through and it measures. So that's a temperature probe, measures, and then it heats it up with like a hot water heater element on one side.
Oh, nice.
So what you can do is you can effectively end up with boiling.
Temperature.
Exactly. Yeah. You use a PID, which uses fuzzy logic to kind of up and down to get it exactly where you want it, where you right. want it measured. He had a system that was using that for boiling, but the hops would get on that hot water heater element and would burn. So okay. all of his IPAs were coming out darker than they should. They and had some roastiness flavor. To it.
Yeah.
And a lot of the alpha acids isomerized, and it didn't give him the balance that he wanted.
Wow.
So now that he's got that really nice brew house over at Blaker, it's legit.
Yeah. This is amazing. This is probably the best beer awesome. I've had from him. I mean, I've only had maybe four or five of their beers, and I think this one's my favorite.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the style of the beer. Now, New England is one thing, but it's an IPA.
Right.
Tell me about IPAs. What should they be?
Hoppy.
Define hoppy.
Hoppier than non-hoppy beers.
Thank you for that, Chris. I really appreciate that.
Like it'd be bitterness, hop aroma.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should have a good, solid bitterness, and I like the I usually like when they have some sort of fruity characteristic or florals to the hops. Mm-hmm.
But, so, out of all three beers that we've had tonight, which one was the most bitter?
Ooh, probably the first one.
First one, hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down.
And I think that other one was the Hammerhead Corvette was less bitter than this. Tasted like it to me.
I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to say that the Hammerhead Corvette.
That one tasted sweet.
It was sweet. It was a triple, so it had a lot more malt. It was 10% alcohol by volume. So they use a lot more malt, so it's going to be a lot sweeter. So here's the thing. I can almost guarantee you that the Hammerhead Corvette has more IBUs than this does. You looking it up?
Yeah, I'll look it up right now.
So while Whitey's looking that up, I can almost guarantee that it had more IBUs. But I agree with your assessment, Whitey, that it didn't taste like it. Yeah, good luck. They don't always put all
it didn't taste like 10% whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, no, it didn't. Either. It didn't. It and that's all the sugar. There's a lot of sugar in that.
Yeah.
A lot of sugar in that. But and the other one was what, 60? The cast out? I think that was 60. Yeah.
60 IBUs.
So here's the problem with IBUs and why I ask about the characteristics of an IPA, because I noticed that the first thing that you said wasn't necessarily that it should be bitter. Although traditionally, that's what an IPA is supposed to be.
Well, that's what we're used to over on this side.
And no rating on the world.
You know, the West Coast style is bitter right off the bat.
Yeah. And all the way through.
Floral and then bitter.
You can do floral. You can even do citrus. There's a lot of citrus in like Cascade hops and Centennial hops. citrus flavors. You know, Cascade is really known for being grapefruity. That's Sierra Nevada's hop, and it's super grapefruity, which is why Grapefruit Sculpin works so well. They just use grapefruit style hops. Centennial gets into the like fruity tricks style fruitiness. That's the Gabetopia that I used to brew, which my is favorite. Which is Whitey's favorite beer ever. He says,
Pretty much ever.
Less of the
it's
Blaker,
one of my favorite ever for sure.
Blaker, they're Plowed Under. They use Centennial for their bittering hops.
I love Centennial.
They're Plowed Under, is
and it's amazing. It's like spot on West Coast.
Yeah,
IPA. That's what I think it is. I don't know. I haven't stopped until this came out today. That's all I've drank every time I've been there.
Yeah. So West Coast style IPAs, for those who are listening, you may not know, they're typically dry as a bone. So you're going to get an upfront burst of sweetness, maybe, but it's going to finish dry, dry, dry. Very much unlike the beers that we've had tonight. Even the Cast Out.
Yeah, even at 60, it still didn't taste all that bitter.
Yeah, and that's I think Rodbeau would have liked that one the least out of all the beers that we drink. Were you able to find anything at all?
No, nobody has any ratings on IBUs.
I would guess the IBUs on that one are probably more like 45 is my guess. But this is why I want to talk about IBUs and why, you know, Whitey's been looking for the IBUs of every beer that we've had tonight. And I understand why, because it has been a measure of hops, but it isn't. Okay, IBUs, what's it stand for?
I don't know what it stands for. Bitterness, something.
What is it? International Bittering Unit?
International Bittering Units. Okay. And what it is, there's a couple of different formulas that you can use to come up with your IBUs. You can use Tinseth or you can use Rager. It doesn't matter which one you do. You pick one, you stick with it. It doesn't matter what you get, because what you get on that system, if you know that 38 IBUs is X on your system, if you use Rager and it's you know, 50 IBUs tastes like this, 60 IBUs tastes like this on your system, fine. Just pick a formula and stick with it. But that beer did not taste like No 60. The Cast Out. You said it was bitter.
I think it only was because when I first took a first drink of it, I was like, whoa. The bitterness hit me, but the second time I drank it, I'm like, oh, actually, no, it's really not
it's
that
smoothed
bitter.
Out it's significantly.
Smooth, yeah.
And the reason why is that IBUs is not really a good rating of how bitter something is. It just isn't. And the reason why is because it's offset in large part by malt, by sweetness.
Okay.
So let's talk about this beer that Hank's pouring himself some more of.
So even if the IBUs in this one it would be high.
You gotta get rid of it. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this
we can't
is, you
drive
said this
with
is the
open
stuff you
container.
Have. No, but we have to drink this fat, like right? Like this is a New England, so it needs to go.
Yeah, it needs to go as quickly as we can.
Right.
Thank you much.
But yeah, well, I was gonna say. So even if the IBUs are higher in this one because of the lactose and the pineapple, and giving it that sweetness, it doesn't give it that same.
Yeah, well, okay, so the lactose, probably not the pineapple, although the pineapple is going to add some sugar, but I imagine the fructose is fairly fermentable.
Okay.
Unless you add it after fermentation.
Okay, do we know when they did that?
I don't know when they added it.
I don't either.
I can't imagine they add it too early in the boil.
Because you would use it like for your yeast and everything, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, you could age it on pineapple. The yeast will eat some of it. Bacteria tends to eat to like fruit a lot more than yeast does, but fructose is fairly fermentable. I know honey is almost 100% fermentable, and honey is mostly fructose, if not all fructose. It's coming from flowers, I imagine it's fructose. So
no, it's not flour toast; it's fructose.
No, it is fructose.
It's not flour toast. It's not flour toast; it's fructose. Thank you, Drew. For your always insightful
scientific commentary.
It's science.
Because
it's
science. Yeah. So, but the lactose is adding to the sweetness and the mouthfeel and the perception of sweetness. And so basically what you're looking at is one of the hoppiest beers you try. Like, okay, if I were going to ask you this, okay, Russian Imperial Stout. And so you make 5 gallons of Russian Imperial Stout. You make 5 gallons of a really nice West Coast style pale ale. Which one's going to use more hops?
West Coast, I would think.
Wrong. And I totally get why you're saying that, because that's where you're perceiving.
Oh, but you're putting so much more malt in the
Russian Imperial Stout. Your Russian Imperial Stout's going to be like 10%.
It takes over that.
Yeah, I remember. I've been home brewing probably 6 years, easy. But yeah, I did make a Russian Imperial Stout. Now that I think about it, it was like 10 ounces of hops for a 5-gallon batch.
It's a ton of hops. I mean, they're like ridiculous. 70 IBUs. But when you drink a Russian Imperial Stout, you don't go, man, that is a hoppy, like, bitter beer. Yeah.
Right. There's so much more to it that you're not – that's not what you're focused on.
Plus all that malt. You're using so much malt. With a Russian Imperial Stout, not only are you using like, you know, pale two-row, but you're using caramel malts to get some of that sweetness to residual sweetness. You can use some of those like Crystal 120, really dark caramel malts, which end up being almost like a raisin, toffee, fig kind of combination. Mm. It's amazing, but it's also going to like contribute to this residual sweetness like we have with this beer. This beer tastes like they didn't use hops at all.
I know. I know. It's
in terms of bitterness.
No.
So then we're talking about, okay, so first of all, IBUs don't tell you a lot about what the beer is going to taste like.
Right.
But secondly, and this is what I want
to – I feel like it kind of can though if it's – if you base it per style. So like if you look at it and you go, okay, this is an IPA and it's 60. I know what that is because I know what a 60 IPA is. However, if I go, oh, this is, you know, this is 65 IBUs, but like you said, it's a Russian Imperial Stout or it's whatever – I mean – Whatever the case may be, it's going to take away from that. So you can still judge it, but it has to be like style specific.
Specific, or the other thing that, and we've talked about this on the show, but it's been a long time, and that is that a better way to judge bitterness is the bittering gravity ratio, or the bittering units versus gravity units. So gravity units, and we don't know what these are necessarily because they're not on the tag. But what this is, what percentage of ABV is this?
6.6.
So let's say it's about 1070 IB or 1070 gravity. So 1.070 specific gravity. If anyone can remember back to their physics days, specific gravity is the density of a liquid relative to water.
Right.
Water is one.
Right.
Anything more than one means there's stuff in it. That's making it denser.
Or denser.
Exactly. Yeah, and so when we say, okay, this is 1070. So then the gravity units are 70, and we say, okay, then what's the next one? Okay, the IBUs are 34. So you're talking 70 to 34. That, what was that? Was that 7.6% alcohol by volume, the cast out?
Yeah, 7.6.
So 7.6% alcohol by volume and 60 IBUs.
Right.
So 7.6 is probably more like 1080.
Okay.
So you're talking about 80 to 60.
Right.
That ratio is much more – so when you're looking at – okay, so this is – we're saying 1070, right. 80, but you're bringing those hops way up so it's much closer – that one had a much greater perception of bitterness.
Right.
Based on what I tasted there, that 10% alcohol by volume is probably, gosh, I'm going to say 1,100.
Oh, wow.
So you're talking about 100 gravity units. I would say that thing could be a 50, no problem, and it would still taste like hardly any hops.
I agree with that. I mean, I mean, it definitely has a lot of hops in it, but it's...
It does have a lot of hops in it.
You can smell it. You taste
it. They use so many hops for that beer. So here's a question.
Because it says... Triple dry hop or
why? Yeah. So that's my next question. If they used a ton of hops, and I agree that they did, why isn't the IBUs high?
Because they put them at the end.
There you go. This guy should homebrew something.
Bam. Science.
So you're basically, are you saying that
that's when you get the floral notes.
And IBUs, the rating, IBU rating, it's kind of worthless?
It's not 100% worthless, but here's the thing. So when I asked Whitey what the number one characteristic of an IPA was, he said hoppy. And I get where he's saying, but hoppy doesn't tell you a lot. It doesn't tell you the flavors, first of all.
But that's the thing about an IPA. How many IPAs have you had and how many of them have been an extreme difference?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, there's so much variation.
But they all are hoppy. It's just a matter of, oh, this one's way more fruity. This one's way more bitter, but that's still a hop characteristic.
It is a hop characteristic.
It's just
not really descriptive.
Right.
Because it can mean anything from oniony to melon.
Just fruit.
Cat urine.
To cat pee.
Yeah.
Simcoe can be very cat pee.
Danky. Yeah.
Really, really dank. Yeah, exactly. Some of those.
Like the Waldo?
Yeah. I still can't believe you're freaking aging that beer, dude.
I'm aging one. Do you still have
one? He has one from last April.
Dude, I have one and I like found it like already a couple months later.
I thought and I was drank like, all yours at Clampers last April.
No, not all.
I swear,
of them.
I had a six pack at home,
and wow. I drank them all.
I saw it over Christmas.
No, it's still there. It's still there. I had one left over, and I was like, you know what? It's been so long. Like now, there's if I drink it now or if I wait a year, it's probably gonna be the same. So I might as well wait a year and then drink it with the new one.
I think that's gonna be fun.
I have a 3-year old little something. Oh. And a 3-year old. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And a 3-year old. That's his favorite.
I love Little Something. Yeah. Little Something's one of my favorite beers.
Just ever. The regular Little Something Something?
Yep.
I don't like it.
I got that, and I got a 3-year old Deschutes Fresh Squeeze. And I have a 4-year old.
That this weekend.
I have a 4-year old Mission Brewing IPA.
Oh, wow.
The double.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So. Here's the thing about...
Dude, we need to have an old IPA show.
Yeah.
We've had some old IPAs.
I have. I think I have some.
Some old IPAs.
Some old IPAs that I just...
Yes.
You know what? We had an old IPA show last show when you brought that...
Oh, yeah. That was accidental, though.
That was a Coronado, right?
Coronado.
Coronado was like over... It was like a year and a half
old. It was 2 years old.
2 years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, it was actually good.
It was good. It was good. It was good. But the hops definitely had aged a lot. So when we're talking about hop characters, IBUs isn't 100% worthless because if you say, okay, if it's 70 IBUs, but it's, you know, 50 gravity, that's going to be super bitter. That's going to be boiled hop water right there is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
But we talked about bitterness versus hoppy, and hoppy doesn't always necessarily mean bitter, does it?
No.
And I asked Whitey, okay, so what makes it bitter versus not bitter? And he said you add the not bitter at the end. So IBUs is a mathematical measurement. It's not a subjective measurement. It's not like it's not like the Scoville scale, right? So the Scoville scale is they put a quantity of the pepper on your tongue that's like mixed in a solution, and it's how much sugar water until you can't feel it anymore or something like that, right?
Based on who?
I don't even know how they test it. I just know that like
Scoville unit was legit.
Yeah, I know. That's how they test it.
The world now.
Yeah. We thought it was science.
Every time.
You know, it's totally objective.
Was everything. I know.
No,
that's the problem.
I had 17.
It's hot. Still.
I didn't.
It took 17 drops of sugar water. So it's
1500.
So 1500. Yeah, that sounds
good.
So
if you ask my wife, like, you're going to be the Scoville test scale. Every pepper is 84 million Scoville units because she doesn't like hot stuff, and I would be a little better, not a lot better, but a little better. Exactly. It's pretty subjective, and I think there's some better testing now. They've kind of like backronymed it, like the Scoville scale means more now than it used to because it originally when they made it, it was 100% subjective. IBUs are not subjective. It is a mathematical formula.
Okay.
It is the amount of alpha acid units in the hops, which is a percentage. So something like Galaxy can be like 13-14% alpha acids. Something like not Galaxy, the other one, the Cascade, is like 5.25% roughly. And they're different every year. Every harvest is different.
Right. It's probably based on watering and
based on water and sunlight and mineral content.
Anything like any fruit or
exactly. Yeah, it's going to be different. But the problem is now you've got this mathematical measurement. He knows what he's talking about. So now you've got this mathematical measurement, which means something, but your hops are going to be different every year. So you can't necessarily make it exactly the same without changing how many hops you use and everything.
Right.
But so what it is essentially, IBUs, is a measure of how many alpha acids have isomerized. So basically the molecules have rearranged themselves and isomerized into isoalpha acids. And isoalpha acids are what we taste as bitter.
Okay.
So the more isomerized alpha acids you get, or isoalpha acids, are what you're tasting as bitterness. That is what IBUs are. Again, though, those are balanced, just like Scoville, just like the Scoville unit's balanced by sugar water, isoalpha acids are balanced by sweetness.
Right.
So if I – let's say Waldo's. Waldo's is a great example. Not the most bitter beer out there by a lot.
No.
Right?
No.
But did they use hops?
So many.
Oh.
So many.
Have you seen like the plugs that
when they're pouring it out of that? Yeah. Doesn't even look. Yeah,
it doesn't look like beer at all. No.
Have they like strained the beer out of it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like the thickest, nastiest looking.
It's sludge.
Liquid. Yeah,
it's sludge. It's green sludge. That is hops.
thick when you drink it. It's pretty.
There's a lot of malt to it. There's a lot of malt to it. But here's the deal. And the reason why they have to use so many hops is there are other oils other than just straight up lupulin, other than just straight up alpha acids. There are other oils that are a lot more volatile. If you take a really, well, ask Hank this. If you take a really delicate flavor and aroma like something like hibiscus and you boil it for 3 hours or even an hour, what happens to those delicate flavors?
They're destroyed.
They're gone, right?
Yeah, non-existent usually.
They volatilize. Yeah. They're super volatile. They're gone. They boil off. Hops are the same way. So the really when you talked about bittering hops, we used this for our bittering hops, Centennial for the bittering hops of the Plowed Under, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that Centennial is added at the very, very beginning of the boil. So like, all right, we're starting the boil. Boom. Hop charge, that's where we're getting our bitterness. But Centennial has a lot more to offer than bitterness, just like Galaxy. Galaxy has a lot more to offer than bitterness. It's 13.5% alpha acid units. Magnum, which is a great bittering.
Magnum is what I used to use.
Yeah.
And this is about 6 years ago when I was home brewing, but I remember I did my IPAs with Magnum.
And the reason you did that is because that's a great bittering hop. It's 14 or 15%.
Yeah,
it doesn't add a ton of flavor, but it adds a lot of clean bitterness, and you're not losing a lot. If you take 13.5% alpha acid unit Galaxy, which can be $3 an ounce on the spot market, and you take, 10 ounces of that and you put it in the boil, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Because you just blew.
Yeah, you might as well throw that $30 in the boil.
Seriously. I mean, seriously. And that's the problem. So when we talk about hoppy, it's important to recognize that it is a descriptor. Okay, I agree with you, Whitey. It is a descriptor. But it doesn't necessarily describe what the beer tastes like. It may not even describe how bitter something is.
Right.
No, it's more like, like people say, oh, yeah, this red wine's jammy. Like, oh, this IPA's hoppy.
Yeah.
Seriously. Oh, it's a Cabernet. I know to say it's jammy or something.
Yeah. And I've got a
Zinfandel.
Gabe's wife was always like, oh, this beer is really bitter. And Gabe used to get mad at her. And she's like, fine, it's hoppy. And so she just learned.
Good, we agree.
Yeah. So she just learned the beer snob way to say it, and that mollified him or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, Waldo's adds very little hops in the beginning, but they're adding a ton of hops later on.
All different kinds too, isn't it?
Yeah, a ton of. Yeah, I don't remember. Well, I did a.
This isn't like the Dogfish Head 120. That's like
continually
all hopped. From the very beginning. They add hops, and then they're adding them. Like every minute throughout the
They've got a quote-unquote hopper. They've got a hopper that vibrates, and it continuously releases hops into the boil for the whole 120 minutes. That's how their 90 minute and their 60 minutes are done. Is it's just so you start out at the beginning, and it's super, super – those are your bittering hops. But basically, you're layering flavor on top of flavor on top of flavor, man. Because you've got your 30 – so if you've got a one-hour boil, your 60 minute is your bittering addition. Mm-hmm. You figure about 30 minutes is your part bitter, part flavor addition. 15 minutes is a flavor addition, and then flame out 5 minutes, 0 minutes is your aroma addition. Okay. And that's in order of the way things volatilize off. So your aroma hops are volatilizing super quickly. Your flavor hops will last a little longer. Your bittering hops, all they're contributing is isoalpha acids because all the alpha acids that were in that were bitter, but are isomerized to isoalpha acids. But when you take a continuous approach and you add at 1 hour, at 55 minutes, at 40 minutes, at 40, you just keep going and going, and you're always adding hops. But lately, I've actually brewed beers where I had zero hops in the bittering charge, and everything is after 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
So how floral is that?
It's super everything. I mean, whatever the hop is known for. So do you remember Toaster Pastry?
Yeah.
I love that beer. I have a clone of Toaster Pastry. I cloned it.
I had that last time I was here.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That clone, I think, is – I said that. I think it's better.
I love that
beer. I think it's better than Toaster Pastry.
I wasn't that much of a fan of that Toaster Pastry, it was good.
Yeah, and I think I did a little bit of charge at the beginning, And then most everything was added after 15 minutes because there's – and there was a huge Whirlpool edition. Whirlpool is where you get all those super bright aromas because what you do is you reduce your – instead of boiling – boiling's, you know, 212 degrees Fahrenheit. You take it down to 180 degrees Fahrenheit. You recirculate it 180 and keep it at 180. You throw just tons of hops in there. It just picks up all those aromas, and it's just so bright and fruity and flavorful. Those are jammy. Red ales, red IPAs are really jammy. Oh. Strawberry. That's why the toaster pastry was what it was. And then I make it. I made a New England style, which I don't think you've had, but I know you've had when it was fresh. Yeah. And dude, that beer, I added everything after 15 minutes. I didn't have a single bittering hop in there, and it was a great beer.
Oh yeah,
it was exactly what I wanted.
Tasty.
Yeah, seriously amazing. So, you want some more? Yeah, dude, drink it.
I'll take a little.
Oh, pineapple IPA. Oh man.
I gotta say, one thing I love about this is like it looks like pineapple. You get that, yeah, but that you get that little bit of. Acid bite, you know, on your tongue that you get when you eat a fresh pineapple. You know, it's in there.
This beer's so good.
It's awesome.
Oh, Blaker's doing such a great job.
They're killing
it. So cloudy.
Like I told Tom, we had the truck there opening night, and after the madness was over, and. Like, everybody left, and the food truck, like, first of all, the food truck that night, we were, like, at the end of the night, by we were scheduled to be 4:30 to 8, and it was about 7:45. I was like, all we can make is, like, a grilled cheese on a pretzel bun, man. And it was just madness.
You're like, we have nothing.
Yeah, and they all right, we'll take four. And we're like, All right. Until we sold out of like grilled cheese on pretzel buns.
I can do salads.
Yeah.
No meat.
We were gone, man. All the lettuce was gone. Yeah, it was madness. I just love the energy there.
Yeah.
It's such a like it's got that such a local feel and such like family.
Yeah.
You know, it's all like farmhouse family. People, dude, and well, they're just such real people.
That's Tom's life. I mean, yeah. he was in farming, and he's just a real guy and super cool. When I went down there, I just sat and talked with Tyler about the brewing process, and then Tom comes in, and we're just standing there admiring the beautiful brew house and talking about some of the issues they've had and how they've resolved. Like, they were having problems on their original system with their IPAs, but their new system, they're killing it. Obviously. Yeah. It's just so great. Their Big Nothing Scotch Ale is one of my favorites.
I was hammered on that the other night.
See, that's not me. The Scotch Ales, and Chris knows this. I just can't do them.
Too sweet.
Too sweet. It's just. I think it's the yeast. It's the finish.
Yeah.
It gets me. It's like cough syrup to me, like that. It's like the only thing I can explain that
it's sours.
Yeah,
he hates
sours.
And
I drank one the other day. What are you talking about?
Are you talking about the Midnight Sun?
I didn't like the smell of it, but I drank it. Tasted all right.
Gets the job done.
I don't know. The Scotch ales always
made me make cool pickles.
And I tried cool pickles.
That's what happened because of that beer. Now I got.
Have we even talked about that on the show, or was that just during the break?
No, I have coolicles in my fridge. They're gross.
You talked about coolicles last time.
We talked about them last time, and then
I found
this crazy guy,
and I made them. So I'm going to eat them.
Ugh.
And like, we're going to eat them on the show.
You're going to bring them on the show.
I'm not even going to eat any until the show. I'll wait.
Oh, dude. We have to find a beer to pair with it.
It'll be better.
Like, what beer do you pair?
What do
we pair with, Hank?
Because you got
a
your
Jill
sweet.
Black Cherry Sour Wickle.
what do you pair with your Sour Wickle?
I'm just going to get like a blood orange gozy and
shovel meat tarts in it.
You know, a Gosa is probably not a bad idea, actually.
It's a pretty bad idea.
Yeah, it goes. Salty.
Ghost, right? Salty and
salty
and
with dill.
Tart.
Tart, yeah.
I know, but I just don't want to
like a lemony one with the cherry.
I don't want to have that
dill pickle Kool-Aid.
So what I'll do?
I'll get a Gosa, and then I'll just pour some maraschino cherry juice in it, and we'll see if that's the same.
He hates Gosa.
I know. Yeah. Why did you make pickles?
I don't know.
Do you like pickles?
I love pickles.
The whole idea you of, like pickles, of a dill wickle here's sounded what's crazy, appealing to
he
him.
Goes, oh, cool lickles, yada, yada. And I'm like, I've never heard of that. I'm going to look it up. Immediately, tons of recipes. I'm like, all right.
Internet.
And they call for sugar and Kool-Aid. Gosh. And that's it. And then I made them. And as I was whisking it together, smells pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Like, I want to eat them. Like, they smell good. Like, I'm like, all right, that's dill, pickle juice, 100% with Kool-Aid in it. That's exactly what that smells like.
So let's preview these these are black cherry, right?
I did black cherry and Clausen's because I like my pickle quality.
No, you know I blame you, Drew. Okay, no, this is your fault.
My students made them in culinary school, and I remember the watermelon. I think the watermelon was the best, but it was horrible. And then, look at that. That's gross.
Gosh, dude.
They look like
you should just add some gelatin.
Atomic radioactive pickles.
Yeah, add gelatin.
And then we'll Jell-O pickle slices.
And then we'll slice it.
Oh,
it would look like a watermelon.
Oh, it would.
It would just
okay. Nope. Not ever.
I mean,
if I have gelatin, if I have vinegar, pickle, Kool-Aid, gelatin in my mouth at any time in my life, I'm throwing up.
Gross.
I'll just eat raw calamari and dip it in. I'll use calamari as a fun dip, and we'll call it good.
Ugh. Yeah, no, like that gummy worm that you got on that beer one time.
You know what, though? Maybe, you know, you take a slice, a wedge of Cool Lickle,
and
you slide it inside the calamari, the raw calamari.
Oh, God. Oh, come on, man. Yeah, come on, bro.
I don't have anything to wash that down with, Drew. That is unacceptable. All right, I think we're going to call that a close, and we're going to finish this beer and not talk about that anymore.
No, real quick on the clothes. I just got to say, the Blaker was my favorite beer tonight.
Yeah,
we saved the best for last. Blaker, you are knocking it out of the park. This beer
is amazing. Like,
yeah,
no, this is the beer that legit, people that don't like beer will like.
Yes, I think so.
You know,
they're doing a legit job there.
Yeah, they are.
And people that like
they're
beer
working
will
hard.
Love it.
Yeah, they are. Their wait staff is working hard. They're working hard.
Are they
working
hard? Are they serving food? You said no. Pizzas or something sometimes?
They had La Rosa doing pizzas out there today.
And then you're out there.
And I got a couple pizzas.
And they call it, they hang.
They have we have the food truck out there. We will have it out there this Saturday. I don't know if this will.
I'll try and get it.
But I mean, we're out there pretty much.
Check the Facebook page.
three weeks absolutely. Out of the 4 weeks of the month, we try to be out there.
And you're using their beers in your recipes.
Oh
too.
Yeah, we did a sausage with their Festa beer. We did a sausage with their Honey Babies, the Blaker Brats. Yeah. I had somebody last week ask me for it. And it was like a month ago. And then, when are you bringing back the Blaker Brats? I was like, oh my God.
Jeez.
If they didn't take 3 days to make them,
again,
we'd have them out there. But half pound Blaker beer brats.
Dude, that sounds so good. Now I'm hungry. Yeah, Blaker's legit. Food fix truck is legit. You got to get down to the food fix truck if you haven't yet. My favorite sandwich still, and I've tried some of the specials, and my favorite sandwich is by and large the pig slop. I can't get away from
the pig slop. Yeah.
Hot mess.
Yeah, I've tried the hot mess. I like it occasionally. He's got the chicken.
The sriracha, yeah.
Sriracha chicken on his
own. Sriracha chicken.
That's awesome.
You got a tattoo. But yeah, I like the pig slop.
The pig slop is amazing. I remember when the first time he's like, you haven't had the pig slop? No, what is that?
And then immediately he's all, this would be good. And he takes a bite and he's all, we put sriracha on this.
And pepper jack cheese.
And it'll just be better.
And it was.
We'll call it a hot mess.
So, Whitey, I'm going to ask you, what percentage of the menu do you think that you've invented?
Oh, it was like 80. No, only... I've helped.
It's exactly the percentage I was thinking... That he invented too.
Thinking that he was
exactly.
Thinking.
That's the percentage he invented in his mind.
I mean, I'll tell you, I'll give him a lot of credit. He's come up with a lot of the names of the secret menu and everything. And they're all brilliant. I can't say no. Like the hot mess. But
dude, still the best one I think is the Sir Mix-a-Lot.
The Sir Mix-a-Lot, yeah, the
it's
name.
It's so brilliant at when you okay. What, so it's a
talk to me about
it's
this.
Fix mix.
Mix fix.
Yeah, it's the mix fix sandwich
with sriracha.
Okay,
secret,
so the mix fix
menu.
The mix fix is the grilled cheese, the four cheese grilled cheese plus the pork strami, right?
Right.
Yeah, with the pork strami meat.
Oh, dude. That
but you
too.
Put sriracha on it, and it's the Sir Mix-a-Lot.
It's a Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Brilliant. Like, I didn't even get it.
Yeah, dude.
When he told it to me, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool, you know? And then
is that because you eat enough of them and you'll have
well,
you'll
I was
have
like,
big
it's
butts?
Be, and... I was like, it's going to be copyrighted. Like, you're not going to be able to do that. And then he's like, no, but like S-R-I-R. And I'm like, sriracha.
Like sriracha.
Okay, I'm on board. Let's do it.
No, there's a guy, and still to this day, the food fix truck, we are looking for you. We don't remember who you are. You haven't came back to the truck. So if you're listening to this, come. We want to buy you lunch for that name.
For the awesome. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah. He came up to the window. He's all, yeah, I want the, you know, mix fix with the sriracha. Got a great name for it. It's called the Sir Mix-a-Lot. Boom, I'm out.
And never came back since.
Yeah, never came back. I don't know where he
was
is.
Was it Jesus?
Is
we
this,
don't know.
Is this one of those angel stories?
Yeah.
It could have been an angel.
But it's the most brilliant
he didn't even pick
name.
Up his food. He didn't even pick up his yeah. food. He just, he was gone.
Actually, I
he
ate
came
that
and
one.
Blessed you with the name.
But yeah, we, I don't know. I want to buy him a meal.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's awesome. I'm going to have to order that just for the name.
It's so good. That, all yeah.
It's good. The mix fix is still my favorite.
You like the mix fix?
That's probably it's my probably favorite, one, too.
The only one I can actually eat anymore.
Why is that?
I just eat that way too much. All the stuff way too much.
Still think the best, like, ever is when the pork strami comes fresh out of the
oven. Oh, yeah. And you
rip the chunk
the
off the
nut
butt.
Off the butt of
oh,
off the
man.
End of the little roast.
Because you roast these things.
Dude, like, when Chris worked there, all the roasts are just like shredded yeah. on the outside.
Dude, because you take them and you're putting them in these fishnets, right? Fishnet stockings. So it creates like these little just
little footballs.
Yeah, little footballs. And the ends of the footballs.
Sometimes just, there's like this little nugget hanging out, and you're just all.
You're like, that doesn't need to be there. It doesn't look.
It's going
to
fall off.
It won't cut
it's gonna
straight
yeah,
anyway. And right now.
You justify
like
it any way
degrees.
You can, really.
It's 300 degrees right yeah. now. So nothing better than fresh, hot, warm pork strong.
Oh, dude.
That sounds good. Oh, that sounds good. All right. Yeah. So get to the food fix. Get to Blaker Brewing Company and get yourself some awesome food and some awesome beers, and you'll just be awesome.
Yeah.
Everyone will be awesome.
And we're going to be looking forward to a recipe that has the coolicles.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, speaking of pickles, though. We're talking
smoke
oh,
pickles.
Smoke pickles.
Oh,
dude.
My God.
Oh, yeah, you guys were talking about those.
He's
going to
make something.
I told everybody about those pickles.
Non-vegan pickles.
Oh, yeah, I gave you a little.
Non-vegan smoke pickles.
Yeah. Dude, I was giving them to everyone at MID.
And I did the same thing.
I was just.
Jari gave me.
I gave them to
and
the
they,
security
they go,
guard.
Wait, what? And then eat one of
Wyatt,
I don't.
It doesn't understand. My brain doesn't.
Does it have
work.
Barbecue sauce on it?
I know they kept reaching for it.
And
I just
can't, you got to keep trying them. That's how I was.
Get
like,
off of my hand. Get off of my.
But I think I'm gonna do some more tomorrow. I don't know what they'll be on, but it's actually Big Vic's barbecue. We share a kitchen with them. He's smoking some pork butts, so I was like, oh, I should get some pickles. I'll get some cucumbers and just smoke. It's like a you know a little half hour smoke, and. And get some of those going because I've been wanting to do them for a while. But he'll be smoking pork butt on
next,
there. So
next to it.
Yeah, like, well, in there. So it's all, so
there's,
it won't be vegan.
Pork
so
air.
At least we know it won't
pork air.
Be
pig air.
Vegan.
So they're non-vegan smoked pickles.
It'll be non-vegan.
Well, I think in the spirit of veganism, you need to tell everyone that you talk to that they're non-vegan.
That's exactly the point
right,
of
huh?
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Dude.
And that's what I'm trying to convey right now is that they will have meat.
Yes.
And we like to use lots of meat.
Meat
and
pickles.
Preferably.
Even though it's not. Oh, you said meat pickle?
Wait a
minute. Said meat.
Are we supposed to talk about this?
Whoa. Wait a minute.
Wait a second.
I thought
wait
this
a
was a family show.
So anyway. I can't believe I said that. It was perfect for it. I mean, it literally described what you're talking about, but also so much more. Gosh dang it. All right. I think we're done.
Yeah. All right. We're done. Let's leave it at Meat Pickle.
Yeah, we'll just Meat Pickle it and call it good.
Which is a great band name.
It's fitting because
it is.
Because of how we started today.
I think
today.
I saw him 82. Because
how we started today to make sure we're all turned on.
Oh, God. Yeah, so here's what the listeners may or may not have been able to do. I was getting that all set up and everything, and I went, all right, so I've got 3 mic cables, and I got 4 mics. How did I end up with 4 mics and 3 mic cables? Oh, that's right. I was always using Rodbo's cable, and so his XLR cable was here, so I didn't have anything. So I'm actually talking on my little portable recorder that I usually use just to do solo shows, and it's going through the board, and it sounded all right, so we're going there. But, yeah, I was looking at the board when we were starting. I was like, all right, and everyone's here. Everyone's turned on. We're ready to go. And
yeah, we were like, wait a minute. I thought we were doing the Ale Evangelist right. show today.
Oh, gosh.
So, I did not sign up
what
for
kind
that.
What kind of show is
this? Yeah,
we talk about beer. It gets loose.
Sometimes,
you know,
by the end of the show, somebody might say Meat Pickle. You never know.
Some people don't like these 3 beer shows.
No, that was part of the feedback we got when we did the.
Oh yeah, I heard that one. Yeah. I heard that one.
I still don't know who that was, but I'm pretty sure I know him in real life. So you know, I'll hear about it someday. It's all right. You've been listening to the Ale Evangelist Show. Donations. The market's a drop off. Thank you, Patrick Krebs, listener Patrick, for dropping off the IPAs, which I was actually planning to drink, but the gifts were too wonderful. Had to drink them, especially this one. This one couldn't last.
Oh,
absolutely
man.
Not. You can't let it go. So thank you very much, listener Patrick. If anyone else has a beer that you're just digging on, you can buy it at the market. Give it to Patrick at the market, and he will hold on to it for us, and we'll be happy to drink it and talk about it on the show, talk about you on the show as well. You can text us and voicemail us at 800-ALES. That's 800-2537. I really appreciate when we do get voicemails. It's a lot of fun. Thank you, listener Doug, for your most recent voicemail. I always enjoy hearing from you and hearing from any of the listeners that want to text me. When your listener John texts me a lot on 800-ALES, and he travels a lot for his job. He'll take a picture of a tap room. Lately, he's taken pictures of tap rooms and wanted me to guess what the tap room is.
Oh, nice.
Even though I've never been to some of these.
Yeah, you're like, hey, you ever been to Nowhere, Montana?
I know. He was at one of the Fieldwork breweries, and he just took a picture of the beers. And I was looking. I'm like, those are some interesting names. Is that Fieldwork? He's like, how did you even know that? I'm like, I don't know. It's just figured it out. So anyway, yeah. You can leave us a review on iTunes if you have an iTunes account. Would very much appreciate all the reviews. We haven't gotten one in a while.
I was supposed to do that.
Why don't you do that, Whitey? Mrs. the Scotsman says you're a slacker.
Right, too many pork I'll probably do it before I eat a cool pickle.
Probably not.
No, I'll do it before I eat a cool
no, because next
do it gonna, before because all you're really going to do is barf after you eat that.
You're going to get the cool pickles on the next show, and I will say this again, and you were like, oh, is this supposed
you're
to
you're probably going to like it, actually.
No, you don't I'll eat just, a cool pickle, you I'll, just taste it.
Oh, I'll just do a quick review on the way here in my car. I mean, not driving. I'll pull over, of course.
Of course you will. Of course you will.
Yeah, because I'm 80.
And you can interact with us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, where I post interesting pictures of interesting beers that I have on occasion. As well as I like to
do
interact
you like literally users. Not ever look at Twitter or is it twice a year?
Do you are you like commenting on Twitter or something? Because I never look at
see
Twitter.
How you don't know.
I have no idea
because I'm gonna lie and say yeah I did like 3 comments I didn't get nothing back.
That's well, better. If you tag me, I get a notification on my phone.
Right, and you ignore that immediately. Like
I think I still have the app installed.
The Twitter, I know Twitter's hard to follow. Then. We do social media a lot. Actually, Rob Schneider was on Twitter and Ashley commented when he was coming to town.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, come by the truck for lunch. And then he's like, all right, cool. But she didn't look at it for 2 days. So Rob Schneider.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
That's you, too
I love Rob
though.
Schneider. Yeah, I know. Dude,
we're just, I just watched the scene. When he goes out on a date,
you mean steak?
With Amy, no, with Amy, what, Palmer?
Polar,
when she has Tourette's. It is so funny. I'd forgotten all about it. My buddy Jason's like, dude, have you seen that recently? And I'm like, no, I haven't seen that in years. Deuce Bigelow, like, what are you talking about?
I don't think
pulled
I've ever
up on
seen
YouTube.
It's just so hard. So I don't know. Social media is so fast.
It is fast.
It's so hard to keep up with.
I can barely keep up. If people tag me in Facebook, I'm more active, and Instagram, I'm more active. But Twitter, there's just too much going on. And I followed like a ton of great breweries on there, and I thought it would be like a news source. It's not a news source because because I got to be on there all the time to catch something.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Yeah. So, no, you can Instagram. And if you tag me, I will notice and I will click on it. There's a guy that used to be podcast on the Podcast 99 Network, Grandpa Ken, who used to tag me on Twitter. And I would interact with him and pretty much nobody else. I cross-post everything that I post to Twitter. So I've got what's called an If This Then That account, IFTTT. And what it does is if I post on my Instagram, this program downloads the picture and posts it on Twitter for me.
Nice.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so that way I don't have to post on it. With Instagram, I don't like the direct because it actually only posts a link to the picture. But the If This and That account actually grabs the picture and then posts it on Facebook. So that's what I do to post on Twitter. But on Facebook, I'm a lot more active. And on Instagram, a lot more active. But you can interact with us on our social media accounts. If you do tag us, I will interact with you. If you don't tag us, don't expect that I will see it on Twitter because I won't.
Yeah.
Don't nobody got time for that. All right. Well, thanks. Thank you, Hank, for coming by. Always appreciate
it
when you're here.
Yeah, thank you for
being
here.
I love doing this. It's a fun time drinking beers.
It is. I know, and I need to get back to the food fix truck. It's probably, like I said, it's two things. I go to the food fix truck when I want to eat too much and when I want to take a nap within an hour after eating. Because it's so good. It's just instant food coma.
Well, come by it. Instead of lunchtime, we've been at McHenry Bowl.
I know. I should, because I should drive by on the way home.
Then you can just go straight to bed if you need to.
I got four little kids. I can't go straight to bed.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. We can wait to eat.
But I could swing by and get dinner for everybody.
Yeah. I work the truck at night.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm fancy.
I try to go there to get food sometimes. I end up working it.
Yeah, he did, actually.
The last time I got food there, a bunch of people showed up. He's like, cool, take orders. What were we drinking that night?
Something
really tasty. I can't remember what it was. It was really, really good.
Oh, we had the Modern Times.
Oh, yep.
The Modern Times variety pack.
Mm. Oh, there's some good. I love their Black House Stout.
Yeah.
Blazing World's good. That's their amber.
Blazing World's or
Orderville.
Orderville.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I just had the Orderville Hazy. That's what I was drinking when you picked
it up. The Odessa one is good, too.
They're all good.
They're good.
Yeah. I've got one in there. It's the City of the Dead Nitro.
Yeah, but I don't have
the purple can.
Nitro.
What?
I think it's City of the Dead Nitro.
I have City of the Dead, a bottle.
I haven't seen that.
I'll pull it out and show you. That was going to be one of the beers tonight, but you guys brought too much good stuff. We'll drink that some other time. All right, you have been listening to the Ale Evangelist Show.
You have been listening to the Ale Evangelist Show, a production of the Podcast 99 Network, where California talks. Our intro and outro music is Our Day Will Come by Seven Nations. Check out their music at www.sevennations.com. Remember, life is short, so drink good beer and do it responsibly. Soli Deo Gloria.
To break these chains and fly away.
It's called the Gone Herd Round the World.
You are a grand narrative just waiting to be written. You are the ultimate conduit of life's rhythm. You deserve the very best vision and the very best version of yourself. And we're here to bring it out of you. I truly am fired up today to be driving your bandwagon, to be your biggest fan, to be avidly you, your secret weapon in the war against your sense of self. You don't have to tell me when we hang out. Well, I love the idea of being your partner in crime, a tag team of two, and unleashing your legendary, to optimize your outlook, to back the very best parts of you. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, to do whatever it takes to bring your own bold.
All Natural Being with Brian Brody here on IPMNation.com.